This is the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, and you'll see the Pain Clinic.
January 8th, holidays today. It's Bubble Bath Day and Male Watchers Day. And I think that's just for the women out there or the guys who like guys, you know, whatever. It's Male Watchers Day. So birthdays today. WWE Hall of Famer Bushwhacker Luke is 75 today. Former WWF Women's Champ Bull Nakano, is 54. And the Masterpiece, former WWE's Chris Masters, is 39 today. He's still a youthful guy. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, Donuts, Light Empire, Culver. Join us for UFC 270 at January 22nd at Salvatore's at the garage door. Prelims start at 8. Pay-per-view starts at 10. Come hang out with us. It'll be a lot of fun. Instant roller derby. You want to be a skater? Want to be official? You want to help out in any ways? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Pier, F-L-O-U-R, Flower City Pier. You can find them at flowercitypier.com. We're always looking for help from anybody. If you want to skate, that's cool too. And it's time to introduce the cast and crew of the show today. Let's start off with, I am your humble host, the cash man, Richie Rich. I'm joined by Furby from Hilton, New York. In his, looks like his man cave. Look at all the cool stuff you got in the back there, man.
This is my back wall and room. Different little spot today than my man cove, I call it, because it's pretty small. But didn't want to move outside the room today.
It is pretty cool. So it looks, I like the belts and everything. And man, it looks like a collector's thieving paradise, we'll say. You know, if someone's going to rob you, they're going to go right there. We're here with DC Dan Cole from North Carolina. DC, how you doing this morning?
Just fine. How are you this morning, Cash and Furby? Oh, we have the Artiste.
Yeah, I'm doing good. You know, I woke up this morning. It was 8 degrees out. Now it's up to 25, so it's not too bad. You know, you can mark off on your bingo card us talking about the weather. We're joined by Rob Sanderson, the Artiste. How's it going today, Rob? How's everything with you in Rochester?
Good evening. Wait, that's not it. Good morning. I'm good. Yeah, I agree. I didn't like the 9 degrees when I woke up, but it's better now. Looking forward to hopefully some of this stuff melting tomorrow. So yeah,
it became winter in the last week or so, you know. It's like it's good to be back Saturday morning. We haven't been on Saturday morning in what, like 3 weeks or 4 weeks now. So all you guys out there, we got a lot of people joining us. Gary, Jeff, Al, Brian, of course, Buddy being there. Tell your friends we're on live right now. We're going to talk. There's nothing more to talk about in the world of wrestling. And a few things happened this week, you know, just a couple things, you know.
What, for instance? Just a lot of stuff happened. So we got a lot of things to talk about. And it's not, you know, we don't want to talk about Bushwhacker Luke's birthday because he is 75 today. But I believe we had him on once. I remember he was like around the area and he just kept like, you know, I'll come on and promote the Elmira show if you want and stuff like that. So he's, it was always a lot of fun and he's still out there wrestling as far as I know. So welcome to the show today. And thank you so much for viewing. You guys all doing healthy, staying COVID free.
Yes.
I'm all trying to, but yeah,
I will say I'm trying to too. And it's like, I went back to work this week and the second day of work, everybody that where I work, including students, got handed two take home quick COVID tests. And of course, being that I work, you know, in a school district, the first thing the kids did after giving the test is they started taking the tests in the lunchroom to see what, and all of a sudden we had 10 positives in the lunchroom. And these were the quick tests. So it's not like, you know, I mean, not, those aren't always 100% accurate, more accurate than not, I'll say, but it was definitely an interesting week after that point. Cause then all of a sudden school attendance dropped. There's a lot of people missing because they actually tested and, you know, being kids and stuff, they go to parties, they get together outside of school and the next thing you know, parking lots are half empty. So I hope you guys out there listening are all doing well. And we got a lot to talk about. I don't know where to start. Do we start bashing the WWE right off the bat? We have to. It was probably the biggest news this past week. And it's not Bron Breakker beating Ciampa for the NXT title, though that was pretty big news, I thought, because the coolest thing about that was Rick Steiner actually got up in the ring and hugged him and stuff after the cameras went off. But we lost a handful of WWE NXT people this past week. I will give you a brief rundown of who exactly is gone. Maybe one of your favorites, who knows? Timothy Thatcher, Danny Burch, George Carroll Jr., Kathy Carino, who she would, what was it?
Allison Danger.
Allison Danger, yeah, I'm sorry. And that's Steve Carino's sister, right? Yeah, yeah, Kathy Carino. Hideki Suzuki, who was an active part of what was going on TV with the gang, with Roderick Strong and everything. William Regal, Road Dogg Brian James, Scott Armstrong and referee, Dave Kapoor, Ryan Katz and Chris Guy. And Dave Kapoor, you might remember as Ranjan Singh, who now is a writer. He's been a writer for pretty much every show. So we lost a handful of people. I think of all of them, maybe William Regal, you know, he was the NXT leader, you know, I mean, at least, you know, he was a commissioner and he had a part in NXT all the time, signing contracts, you know, making matches and stuff like that. I mean, it hasn't been since 2.0, and that's probably why this has a lot to do with these guys being gone, because a lot of these guys aren't part of 2.0. Oh, and I forgot Samoa Joe yesterday. Samoa Joe was at. Samoa Joe wins the title, doesn't ever defend it, and gets cut. I don't know. I don't know what to say. But what do you guys, let's get some thoughts on, and if you're in the chat room right now, tell us what you think about all these massive cuts. I mean, if you're not a fan of NXT, I guess it doesn't really matter, does it? Because a lot of this was NXT based, you know? I mean, I know Road Dogg was a writer on SmackDown for many years, and he's floated around, and his brother Scott Armstrong, a referee, you'd see every once in a while. But beyond that, a lot of these guys weren't anything but NXT, weren't involved with that. You know, they were the Triple H NXT. And that's the question now is, since Triple H had this heart issue and we haven't seen him in, what, 5 months now, 4 or 5 months, are they just trying to erase Triple H's people from Empower and NXT? What do you guys think? I'm throwing it out there.
I think the tough thing with this one, sorry, DC. I think the tough one with this one is a lot of the people that are gone were from behind the scenes. So it's not like we were seeing them on TV. I think the biggest blow is definitely William Regal. I mean, Thatcher was hurt and on the shelf anyways at the time, so it sucks losing him, but was he really going to fit the style? Danny Burch had the writing on the wall once Oney Lorcan was cut, but I know Burch was hurt. So, I mean, a lot of these guys you weren't really seeing on TV anyways, and obviously they still play a big part in the show. It is very unfortunate, especially the whole Samoa Joe situation just really seems really awkward now. To be cut once, brought back, win the title, off of Cross, who then Cross gets cut, then they strip the title from Joe, and then they do the 2.0, and then he's cut again.
Yeah, and I mean, remember, he was an announcer the first time he was cut. You know, it's like he had been on a announcing contract, so.
I saw a meme the other day. They were saying how they felt bad for Joe, how he had to sit in the rain with a poncho announcing WrestleMania 36 or 37 or whatever it was. And then to be cut twice afterwards.
DC?
No. I'm wondering if they just waited until after the holidays to make it a not awkward Christmas table chat at the McMahon family. this is it. I mean, the only thing left of the NXT we loved is Triple H himself. That's about it. He has been wiped clean from NXT. And whether this has to do with his health issues or whether this has to do with his perceived failure with going up against AEW, I don't know. But the writing's on the wall for anybody that's like, oh, let's give it a chance. It might be okay. No, this is Vince McMahon. This is a pure WWE product now. And that's kind of sad.
New direction, quote unquote. You know, it's like, we'll bring you back if we go in another new direction. You know, I'm sure, you know, I mean, these guys and a lot of these guys, Road Dogg, Brian James, how many times has he been released and brought back, you know?
And I'm sorry, you can't find something for William Regal for all the work he's put in?
Yeah, and I mean, Joe got released last year and gets released again. That to me is the biggest point. This is not a huge surprise, the way NXT's been going. I mean, it's, in my mind, it's been dead. My interest in it has been gone since they went to the Nickelodeon colors. So I just don't and yet Bron Breakker can be a superstar, fine, whatever, but like you're really shoving down our throats at this point that like you don't even want to consider anybody from the indie scene anymore? Because that's essentially what it was. William Regal was scouting the indies and bringing in this talent. And for the longest time, I remember being a WWE fan and thinking like, man, it would be so cool if guys like Kevin Steen, Brody Lee, Claudio Castagnoli, all these guys could like make it to WWE because they're good enough. And they weren't. And then we got to the point where like, oh crap, like these guys are actually getting looked at and hired and used. And then you bring in the Garganos and the Ciampas and all these, like it became a great product. And now it's just like, no, we don't want anybody with wrestling experience. You know, we have nothing in the entire company for William Regal to do. How stupid are you? Like, part of me just wants to like this is a radio show. So like, we're going to talk about it. Part of me is just exhausted. Doesn't want to talk about it because how many times can I say this company sucks? They don't know what they're doing. They're disrespectful. They don't care about their people and they get worse by the week. And it's always like a, well, it can't get worse. And then it does get worse. So
yeah. Oh, I agree.
Go ahead, Fox or USA Network. Why don't you release WWE at this point? Because they're trash.
Yeah. And you know, the thing about that is, you know, they've always in the past, they've always wanted to start their own characters and create their own stuff. But they have had such terrible luck doing that for such a long time. They haven't made a character. I don't know when the last time they made.
No. There's a difference between having terrible luck and being stubborn as hell. And yeah. That's what it is. It's not bad luck. They have all the talent in the world. If you can't make stars out of the entire roster they had, that's on you.
Yeah. True, and I don't want to jump the gun too much, but like, I'm sure we're going to talk about the Royal Rumble coming up, which is like the one thing I typically still enjoy or try to act like I still enjoy it like I used to. But
when there's money on it, you can do it. It makes, you know.
Thank God for gambling.
Yes.
Now you got to bring in all these people that don't even work there because you don't have anybody left. What a joke. I didn't think I'd be this fired up this morning, but it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like this is like a takeover by some evil character, some villain in a movie who's like, what can I do to destroy this company as much as possible? Like, none of these decisions make sense.
No.
You're honestly, who can say, Nick Khan, I don't care who it is, who's going to say, yeah, you know what? We have nothing for William Regal. Not on Raw, SmackDown, NXT, as a manager, as a GM, or like in the office instead. Like, what? And like, credit to William Regal being like the bigger man by like putting out a tweet last night, like nothing but love. Thank you, WWE, for 21 years, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's cool. That's nice of him. That's great. I have a ton of respect for him. But he'll be a huge asset to somebody else pretty soon.
Sure. Probably NWA. Because I mean, you know, that's real old school stuff and he's an old school kind of guy. So who knows where these guys will show up. Yeah, I agree. You know, the thing is I think I started to lose faith in their creativity when they started hiring only Hollywood writers. And that was many, many years ago when guys who don't really know much. I mean, you have guys like Steve Austin who will come out and say, that's not the way to create characters. We all did it ourselves. We were on the road. We kind of figured these things out, what people liked, what they didn't like. And they think that they can just, you know, in the back room, in the locker room, say, okay, you know, who's the Von Wagner? It's like, we're going to change your name. And now you're, you know, we're going to, you know, it just, they, it makes no sense on what they're doing.
It's not just the Hollywood writers, Cash. Yeah. It's the fact that they wanted people with as little exposure and experience with wrestling as possible.
Yeah. I mean, this whole, they signed this amateur wrestler who won a gold medal at the Olympics, and everyone thinks they're going to ease him into something with Brock Lesnar. But, it's tough. It's tough because, you know, they still treat NXT as developmental, and a lot of the guys that were there that they've let go in the last year were way more experienced than developmental wrestlers. You know, these guys, you know, and then when Ciampa lost, I mean, what does that mean for him now this past week? I wonder if he's going to disappear all of a sudden too, you know, or
that's what I'm most nervous about. And that's the saddest part about the entire, for me, that's one of the saddest parts about the situation. He's probably my favorite NXT superstar of all time, from what we knew it as. And seeing his Instagram post, the picture in the black and white as he's walking out with his head down, it really is depressing. Like, not only the fact that he lost the title, okay, I don't mind Bron Breakker, but the fact that it feels like, you know, Ciampa might go right off into the sunset now. I mean, I know he's talked about wanting to enter the 2022 Royal Rumble, but he's also been very vocal about now not wanting to be on the main roster, and then he'd rather retire than ever going to Raw or SmackDown. So whether that's the truth or not, I don't know. Well,
he only lost every best friend he had in the business in the last year, you know.
Right. And there's really not much more for him to do at NXT, and especially not with the NXT 2.0. So what is it? What's the point of sticking around there anymore?
I give him a lot of credit. He did go up to Rick Steiner and shook his hand and, you know, and showed a lot of respect to the dog face gremlin, which I've heard the announcer use that term at the last 2 seconds of NXT this past week, describing Bron Breakker. It's like, how can you refer to this guy who you had to change his name not to be a Steiner or a Reichensteiner or whatever, and then use every one of his dad's nicknames during the match, calling? I'm just dumbfounded by a lot. Listen, I understand. And I got one thing I noticed last night, I don't know if you guys were watching SmackDown or not, but Bron Breakker did the voiceover for the NXT plug. And it was like, and to me, that was like, that's like getting the ultimate nod, I guess. You know, if you're doing voiceover work on Fox TV for SmackDown to promote your show on Tuesdays, your developmental show, you know. So it's been a rough week. And I mean, you know, Scotty Too Hotty, we talked about it last week. He like quit, and then he said, and he was the first one to make a comment this week saying, of course, I got out before because I knew this was going to happen. And they probably all knew it was going to happen after the break. You know, they got a week off, and they probably said, yeah, they're probably going to be cutting all the originals NXT because, you know, they want these new guys in there. I don't know. It's sad, and it's sad that they treat something on a level platform with Raw and SmackDown as developmental still to this day, and bringing in rookie wrestlers, you know, guys who've wrestled less than 10 matches or whatever, being on TV.
Well, a couple things that you guys just mentioned real quick. Furby mentioned how Ciampa said like he didn't want to go to the main roster, and obviously he's not like the only person that said that. That was said a while back, and things have only gotten worse since then. But how are we at a point where it's acceptable to just like hear a sentence like that and think like, all these people that wanted to become professional wrestlers, their goal was to make it to WWE. And now you have people who are very good professional wrestlers who literally do not want to be on the main roster of WWE. Like, what else needs to be said other than that? That's a clear indication of that company not knowing what it's doing at this point. The other thing you mentioned, like the amount of matches and stuff, Bron Breakker, cool. He's a champion. Everybody loves him, whatever. That was his 14th professional wrestling match this week, including dark matches. So where's the experience there? Like, cool, yeah, you see a lot of potential in him, but is he ready to be the champion of your company? I'm sure plenty of people disagree with me, but not in my mind. 14 total matches in your life? 5 of them were dark matches. Okay, cool.
Yeah, this is not like the Big Show winning in his first match, winning the WCW heavyweight title. Okay.
And I understand, like, they've made plenty of stars, but you look at, like, NXT specifically has made a good amount of stars, the Big E's and everybody else. But when you think back to the last, like, 10 years or so of WWE, like, it's not like these are all homegrown people. They have plenty, but Danielson, Bryan Danielson, Tyler Black, Kevin Steen, Brody Lee, Jon Moxley, CM Punk, all these people who did stuff elsewhere and then came into WWE and became big stars. And there's plenty more on that list. And you mentioned Scotty Too Hotty as well. Like, the words that he had after his match with Joey Janela at GCW last week.
I saw that, yeah.
Was very indicative of, like, this is, like, the biggest deal for you. Like, yeah. Which it shouldn't be. It's an indie show in Atlantic City and whatever and stuff. But the amount of fun that people like him are having after escaping that world. Matt Cardona, Jeff Jarrett, all these other people, like, all the writing is on the wall everywhere, on every single wall. And WWE just doesn't care. They just want to see what else they can do to piss us off.
Biggest thing that I get from any of this is that people actually like freedom. They like being able to do what they can want to do. They want to be able to have the freedom to do whatever they want to do. And that's what, you know, other companies allow, or at least give some freedom to, you know, working the indies. I mean, Matt Cardona has said that this is easily his favorite year of his entire career. You know, all the stuff that he's done on the indies. And he didn't really start doing indie stuff until like mid-2021. So he really did all his favorite stuff in about half of a year.
Think about this. Think about him. He probably sat in catering all those weeks and years without being used. You know, seriously, he would go to these shows and never get used. And now he, every time he books a booking, he knows he's going to be used. He knows he's going to be in front of people wrestling. So I can understand why he's happy about that.
Yeah.
And absolutely. He's the original blueprint for getting over without having the official platform to get over.
Yeah.
Very true.
He's really the one guy who made social media, you know, when first social media first became a thing, really, like especially Twitter and YouTube, and really got himself over. And it might have been a detriment to himself, but you know, it's working now. It sure is. And he, you know, all power to him and continue to have a great career.
Well, and tonight we get to see him challenge for a world championship.
Yep.
And then this is in the same week that right after his wedding, the creativity is just pouring out of him even more with the stuff that him and Joey Janela and Chelsea Green are doing with the throwbacks to Macho Man and Elizabeth and stuff. Like, I love it. Everything Cardona has done has been genius.
Yeah. Did you see his groomsmen, by the way? Half of them were WWE guys, you know, and Cody Rhodes was there and a bunch of other, it was pretty cool, you know?
Yep. Yeah. I'm a major pod guy and I'm in the group and everything. So I see all that stuff and listen to their podcast and it's awesome.
So we kind of are now trashing them. I kind of want to, as we were doing this during our special chat with each other during the week on our messages, it also came up, and because of all the news and everything about what was his name? Freddie Prinze Jr. Let's talk a little bit about that for a second. Freddie Prinze Jr. Kind of made a comment about all this stuff going on too, and then talked about something we didn't know about, that WWE, remember when they went to Fox and they were going to do SmackDown? Come on, Danny, why don't you tell us what we were talking about? You know, you're the one who threw it out there, and it's like, you know what? This is something that we definitely have to address.
No, I mean, in this is something we've been talking about for the past year, especially with all of the releases, where it seems like WWE is trying to put itself in a position to make itself as lean and profitable as possible to make it more attractive for a potential sale, which we all think is going to happen sooner than later. But, you know, Freddie Prinze Jr. reveals this week that WWE has been trying to sell itself previously for at least a couple of years.
And they approached
Fox with a price, said, here's our price, buy us out. Fox thought that price was too high, and that's how we ended up with Fox licensing SmackDown.
Yeah, so they obviously see what they're doing as a higher price than other people who may possibly want to buy it, and that's why they're leaning out big time now. So, you know, that, you know, and there's been rumors about that for the longest time, you know, that they wanted to sell. And it's, I mean, listen, anything is for sale at any point. But maybe that's what Nick Khan's job is to do, is to cut, you know, cut everything to the minimum and then see what the, you know, if they can get the price they want still. So, but I was pretty surprised because that you realize that the selling negotiations turned into SmackDown going on to Fox, which is probably the best thing they've got going right now of anything, because Raw is just in the toilet. And NXT, they've pretty much deconstructed to the point where now the numbers are shrinking every time. We're stuck with people we don't know in the middle of the ring. It's good they keep a couple of people around that we know, but
it's very popular with the 65 plus crowd.
Oh, I'm almost there. No, wait a second. No. So I thought that was pretty. What did you think about that, Ferbs, hearing that news?
I thought it was shocking at first, but then when you kind of, you know, take a step back and realize, it makes sense. Why would Fox want a product like that that sucks? Like, what are they going to do for them? You know? And I don't know. I really don't want to say too much more about it, but, you know.
Why, are you looking for a job with them?
No, I just, I mean, there's no, I mean, I don't want to bash him, but there's no reason to support him.
No,
I mean, yeah. There, and I agree with Fox what they did. Like, why would I want an overpriced company, or why would I want to pay more for a company that I have nothing to do with? Like, I don't know.
Maybe when they were pulling eights in the ratings, not 1.9s and whatever they are now, maybe if it, you know, that commercially, they selling commercials and whatnot, they could have made some money. But right now it's pretty much down.
Yeah, there's no, for Fox, there's no reason to want to invest in that other than what they got out of SmackDown. There's not enough star power to make it money.
And that's all they care about, which we can't criticize. I mean, almost every company and whatever is built on making money, but every decision WWE has made, cutting all this talent, trying to maybe sell the company, and oh, look, they're going to go to Saudi Arabia again next month.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's coming up again, too. Well, it's profitable. You know, that's one thing that they do make money from. Unfortunately, it's blood money, but, and, you know, it's not like we haven't said that in the past.
Oh, you muted yourself.
They'll probably give big matches to that show as opposed to the shows that we're supposed to care about, like every year,
like WrestleMania. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Wait. Oh, you mean the premium live events?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that phrase. That is a. I don't. You know what? Yeah, I understand it's not a pay per view because people don't buy it through pay per view, or they shouldn't at this point. But you couldn't come up with a better name than that. Oh, that might be the worst part of the week to me.
I would like to know what makes it premium.
Yeah. You pay $5 to get it on Peacock with commercials still? I don't know. I don't know what's premium about. Yeah, you know, and the funny thing is, do you ever notice that the WWE app is still active? You know, it updates every once in a while on my phone. I haven't opened it in months or even, it probably sends you right to Peacock. Who knows, you know? But, remember, that wasn't that long ago when we used to have the thing called the WWE app. In fact, Mr. Artis, I saw a post that was a flashback from 10 years ago when you downloaded the WWE app for the first time.
I think we all had the hope that if we downloaded the app, they would shut up about telling us to download and install the app.
Exactly.
Well, I need to download some more apps. So, Michael Cole, if you can come back and tell us how to download apps again, that'd be great.
Okay.
How much was it a month?
It was $9.99.
Oh, that's right.
$9.99. Yeah. Now it's half that on Peacock with commercials. Nothing like watching a live premium event last weekend and on Saturday night, which was really special, and getting all these commercials between every match. And it's like, and I do want to talk just a brief second about day one. If anybody had watched it, day one got all revamped because of COVID. By the time it actually happened. And yes, and I know for those of you who didn't watch it, you don't need to, you know, we're going to go briefly on it. But obviously, if you saw SmackDown last night and Raw this past week, you see that Brock Lesnar got added to the main event. I will say, and listen, as a wrestling fan, as just purely watching it as a wrestling match, I enjoyed that main event. It was a lot of fun watching these big guys doing all their finishers to each other. It really was a lot of fun the last 10 minutes of that match. And then, of course, then they throw a monkey wrench into everything, and Brock Lesnar is now your champion of Monday Night Raw, though he's a free agent, I guess he says. He can be anywhere he wants. Comes out last night in SmackDown, gets in Roman Reigns' face. Everyone in the world thinks that the Roman Reigns is going to find out who his next competitor is going to be at the Royal Rumble or whatever. And at the very end of the show, you find out it's Seth Rollins, the guy who we find out later was supposed to win the title from Big E in that big match at the end of the night on day one. But because Brock Lesnar, because his match was canceled and everything, you know, they just had to, you know, like I said, I think when we were watching it, I did send a text to everybody and I said, were they trying to, you know, swerve us, you know, for the sake of swerving us? And they did, you know, Brock Lesnar ended up winning that title. But yeah, so now Seth Rollins shows up last night, the very end of SmackDown, you know, we got a minute left or whatever, less than a minute left in the show, and he's like laughing in front of Roman Reigns' face. So we're going to get that at the Royal Rumble as the SmackDown title competitor, I'm guessing. They didn't say anything. He just sat there and laughed. I don't know. I'm assuming that's, you know, who it was supposed to be. But
so are we going back to not having, like, brands anymore?
I don't know. You know, I mean, remember Roman had COVID too, and that or he that's why they or he didn't have maybe he tested positive, but he tested out because he's also vaccinated. So
interesting that he didn't find out until what, an hour or two before the pay-per-view, the premium live event. It's almost like he didn't miss every show that week and hadn't tested positive probably days earlier.
Yeah.
And yet they did exactly what we talked about on the show last week and didn't say anything to the last minute. So
yeah, you know,
people would still buy their tickets to the show.
You know, it's funny is remember last week, the SmackDown show was a best of 2021. So it's not like they even used that last show to promote the pay-per-view going into it. It's probably, or sorry, the event, what do they call it again? The enhanced event?
No. Premium live event.
Premium live event. They got to change the name of those every time.
That word, those words make me cringe more than panties.
Yeah, so so that's a, so that's how it ended last night, and that's what we're going to get for the – and we haven't even – should we just dive in and well, and go ahead,
why, I enjoy some of the stuff Brock Lesnar has been doing in the past 6 months or whatever. It's refreshing to see him show a little personality, be a little bit of a baby face, all this stuff, whatever. Sure. But what it's the same thing where like every year it's like, okay, part-timer shows up, takes the title. It wouldn't be something I'd be complaining about if we're talking about the SmackDown title and the thing that he's been feuding for, but oh, guy that just showed up into this Raw match an hour before the show, let's give him the title and let's just bury the five other people or the four other people in that match. Cool. Yeah. So you're just further telling me that your Raw roster sucks, that this guy can just come in and boom, take the title just like that.
Yeah.
The logic doesn't make sense to me when you have that much star power in that one match and you have so many options. And I hate that they took it away from Big E. But if they were going to take it away from him, I would have rather went in a different direction too.
Well, and they were.
And if they're going to unify the belts, don't do that. If you unify the belts one more time, don't ever separate them again.
Oh, I agree. I was going to say, and Big E was supposed to lose, like I said a minute ago, anyways, to Seth Rollins. Now,
Seth freaking Rollins.
Seth freaking. Yes, I forgot he changed his name. Seth freaking Rollins. So I gotta say one thing about that is when I was watching the match, I think Big E insisted on being the one to lose the match too, because Brock Lesnar could have pinned any of those guys, but Big E was the one who laid on his back for the 1-2-3 and Brock Lesnar got the title. And I mean, maybe that's a respect thing of something, you know, it's like, hey, listen, I was a champ. Let me lose it to him. You know, even though they have like the four, five biggest stars in the company in that match. But honestly, go back and watch it if you get a chance and just watch the last 10 minutes. It was super exciting. A lot of, you know, but now it messes everything up for a while. And I think, you know, Fox had problems before with them sharing talent with USA, and USA had problems before with them sharing talent with Fox. I don't know, you know, I think a sale is coming sooner than we expect. You know, they think this is going to bolster money. This is gonna be money matches and stuff.
Yeah, and I don't know if they try to mishmash things together again, it really defeats the purpose of any sort of draft or anything like that. Again, do you go to unify the belts with Brock and Roman down the line at WrestleMania? Maybe. I mean, there's a lot of places you could go, and there's not really a definitive direction at this point. But one thing that I did want to say is, you know, with Brock taking the title at day one, I actually liked it. Probably not a popular opinion. I thought it was the right way to go, especially if you're going to throw him in the match, with how hot he had been. The issue, and again, I feel bad for Big E in this situation because, again, big supporter. I like Big E, but he had a very underwhelming title reign. I mean, he was probably pinned like 7 or 8 times in a title reign. Like, are you really putting your champ over if he's losing that many matches?
He didn't defend it for like over a month after he won it. I mean, he was barely on TV.
Well, right.
You're saying basically that they treated him with that belt the same. It's not Big E's fault, but WWE treated Big E with that belt the same way that, I don't know, AEW treated Sammy Guevara with his.
Kofi Kingston when he won.
I was going to say the same way WWE treated.
Like,
Kofi.
Don't worry. There's going to be some bashing of other companies still to come on this show today.
Oh yeah,
it's not just WWE.
Yeah, hey, there's one more WWE bash before we get to something else too. So, but
you can tell the difference between WWE pushing someone as a champion and WWE pushing someone as the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Kofi, Big E, Lashley. Essentially, if your name isn't Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar, you're not the guy right now. And you know,
give it to Kevin Owens. I don't know. Like,
I would have been hey, if you want to take the title off of Big E, fine. I would have gone with anybody other than Brock because yes. I am so sick of it. Honestly. I don't even. And Cash, when you said, "Oh, you know, they haven't been able to make new stars," they've been doing this Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns crap for 7 years.
Yeah,
7 years. Nothing's changed. Oh, look, one's a heel now and the other guy's the face. Wow, we freshened it up. Mm-hmm. No.
Freshened it up, you mean like how they had the Usos against the New Day on the pay-per-view?
Oh, haven't seen that.
Again, and then night. Again on Friday?
Night. Yeah, last night. Yeah, I haven't seen that in more than a week.
142 times.
Yeah.
No, I mean, hopefully Brock drops. Like, maybe Roman cost Brock the title to Lashley at the Rumble or something. And then Brock and Roman can start focusing on each other again. Because all I want out of this again is Brock Lesnar to put Roman Reigns over clean and cement Roman Reigns as that star. Roman Reigns should get a clean pinfall over Brock Lesnar, and anything else right now doesn't matter. Like, Brock Lesnar does not need the Raw title.
I think you could go that way. Honestly, you could have the Usos or the Bloodline come out, cost Lesnar the match against Lashley. Lashley win the title. Then
Heyman, not the that's what everyone was thinking we were going to see if that match had taken place last week.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the biggest thing is Heyman turning on Brock. Okay. But I think you could see Brock then reinsert himself and then go after Roman Reigns again. I still think we're getting that match.
Well, that's to be seen. I guess we've got Royal Rumble is less than a month away. It's just a few weeks away.
Well, the question, we're going to get that match. We're going to get Reigns and Lesnar. The question is, are they going to do the right thing and make it WrestleMania, or are they going to give it away in Saudi Arabia?
That's a good. Yeah, they'll probably do a tag team with those guys involved in Saudi Arabia. Maybe a 3-on-3 or something, you know. But nobody aligns himself.
Maybe they'll do John Cena against Randy Orton and the New Day against the Usos and every other match we've seen 100 times.
Sure. You know, well, let's move on just a little bit. I know you guys, you know, we have one more bitch about what's going on in WWE, and that has to be with the Royal Rumble that was announced last night. If you were watching SmackDown, you saw that said out loud on a SmackDown on Fox that in the Women's Royal Rumble, we are going to get Impact Champion Mickey James. A lot of people said, oh, the forbidden door has been open. Wasn't anywhere on the graphic or anything, that's for sure, because we had to go back and actually watch it and listen to what Pat McAfee was saying. But they've acknowledged Impact Wrestling before. AJ Styles, they in their archive, they've had some stuff. They've had Dixie Carter on when she was running Impact. So to me, it's not that big a deal. You know, I mean, opening the forbidden door is opening to AEW, and you know, that's the forbidden door. Okay. But a lot of places out this morning are saying, oh my God, it's the end. And I laughed at it when I saw it last night. Cause it's like, what I don't see any graphics saying with the Impact title on her or anything, you know? And it's like, but Mickey James is the one a year ago got a bunch of people fired because when she got cut, her stuff was sent back to her in a garbage bag. Remember that?
Now they've returned the favor by paying her with a garbage bag full of cash.
Yeah. Remember the garbage bag, folks, guys? Remember that's the couple guys got fired, including the PR dude who hated our show, by the way.
Mark Carano, yeah.
You know, not Carano didn't hate us. It was the other guy who hated us. So, Yeah, so what do you guys think about that? I mean, listen, that's just absolutely silly. Mickey James going back, you know, and what I suggested to the guys last night is maybe she was suing. And it's like, okay, don't sue us. We'll just put you in the Royal Rumble or something, you know, or, you know, give you an opportunity. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure the behind-the-scenes machinations. I do know that we got a quote out of the guy who runs Impact Wrestling yesterday.
Scott DeMore
said, you know, that he gave – full approval to if she wanted to go do it, and there was no negotiations. I mean, you know, they let her make up her mind on it. So
There's so much to say about this, but like, if I think it whatever, it's cool that she's in the match. It's nice to see a tweet from WWE that says Impact Knockouts champion Mickey James, because it is still, even if they've acknowledged that TNA existed in some WWE Network special years ago, whatever, like,
yeah,
this is still, it's still something that's not regular. So I will say that, similar to other companies doing same type of things, I don't like obviously it's got buzz, the announcement, all this stuff, and we know where their priorities lie, but I just, man, that would have been really cool for Mickey James to just walk out in the Rumble as a surprise with a Knockouts title on her shoulder. Like, that would have had a ton of buzz, but of course they're going to give away it now, because who cares about surprises in the Royal Rumble anymore? Well, let's just announce them all ahead of time. Also, does that mean that, like, Deonna has zero chance of winning tonight now? Because I don't love the timing of all of this, and I almost feel like maybe it's like WWE being like, oh, we're going to ruin their pay-per-view tomorrow by basically spoiling the outcome of that match.
Yeah, hard because to kill.
Impact, there's no way you have Mickey drop the title tonight unless she drops it and gets it back before the Rumble or something. Like, they obviously want that moment, and they should, but I don't know. The whole thing is just weird, and again, I feel like they're scrambling to get people in. Mickey James is a great wrestler, and it'd be cool to see her in the Rumble. What are some of these other people doing in the Rumble? Did I see Summer Rae on that graphic?
Yes, you did.
Are you kidding me?
Kelly.
Summer Rae shouldn't have been in the Rumble when she was in the WWE.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Michelle.
I don't even know if she's ever been in the Royal Rumble, to be honest.
No, there hasn't
been. Does she have any matches? Yeah. I don't even remember her wrestling.
Yeah, that's the only. There's only been a couple of women's Royal Rumbles, and I don't believe Summer Rae has been in that, nor I don't. Nope. Kelly.
Those fellas have. Kelly Kelly.
Oh, Kelly has. Kelly has, yeah. Michelle Tina McCool.
Michelle McCool was in the first one. Had the most. Had like five eliminations in 2018.
And
I'm so glad we get to see the Bella twins again.
And Nikki and Brie Bella, both WWE Hall of Famers, are going to be in the match as well.
Oh, God, that phrase just made me cringe.
Remember when they had way too many talented people under contract that there was no way that they could figure out how to own, like, which 30 are actually going to get into this match? Now they're like,
we don't have enough.
Anybody realize we only have 18 women on the roster right now?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I was saying last night. It's like, I think that they don't have enough to fill out the whole roster anyway.
They don't.
2023 Royal Rumble, 5 people per match.
I mean, they barely have enough people. And in all honesty, of like real men stars on the men's side of the roster, do they have 30 men that could fill out a Royal Rumble? Why are there so many damn tag teams?
Like, yeah, true. I mean,
four guys right now that are tag team guys are the first people to get into the Royal Rumble, and Johnny Knoxville too. Like, I get it; it's a movie promotion type deal, whatever. Seriously, come on.
Yeah, Johnny Knoxville. We I don't know if we talked about it a couple weeks ago when he announced that he wanted to be in the Royal Rumble, and everyone made fun of him. And then the WWE put him last night on SmackDown. Him and Sami Zayn were. Sami Zayn been doing a backstage segment where Johnny Knoxville gets to put in the Royal Rumble. So, I honestly think that's why we got the names, is because they don't have enough women. You know, I mean, but there's actually more announced for the women's Royal Rumble than the men's right now. There's still 11 participants available, but and this is 30. We're talking 30 wrestlers. How many did you say? 18 women on the current roster.
Oh, that was a joke. If I nailed the number, I would laugh.
That, you know, I mean, it doesn't seem outrageous with all these names on here, but yeah. So, I mean, yeah, maybe they'll bring the Iconics in too, because I mean, they're, you know, and they'll say the women's knockout tag team title holders in Impact are also in the Royal Rumble. I don't know. But that was kind of ridiculous last night. So, so we're going to see Kelly, Summer Rae, Michelle McCool, the Bella, sorry. And by the way, Lita is a Hall of Famer who's also in it too, Lita. Trish Stratus should be thrown in there too if she can get out of Canada. You know, why not? You know, put her in there too. There's still a lot of active women wrestlers out there who definitely could come in and pop the crowd a little bit possibly, as well as the men's. But that's at the end of the month. So we've got like 2 weeks or 3 weeks before this is going to happen. And I don't know why they you know, you're right, Rob. I agree with you 100% about, you know, save some of these. I mean, you know how the roof would have been blown off if Mickie James had come out and we didn't know she was going to be part of it. And especially if she still had the Impact title and if they let her wear it to the ring. Oh my goodness.
Just think of what social media would be probably frozen for a little bit. Like, people would go nuts after that.
Oh yeah. You know, I mean,
would get the buzz, but they want to give it away ahead of time. And I mean, again, like, I don't know, like, obviously we've talked a little bit about how AEW and TNT and they've not necessarily wanted things to just be only given away on pay-per-views, but they still do that. But this is just like, I can't wait to see who's next for this Women's Royal Rumble. Oksana, Jillian Hall.
Medusa.
Joy Giovanni.
Medusa.
I mean, who, oh God.
So
Eva Marie, the legend, will come back again.
Oh, please no. Yeah. She, and Doudrop will come out and wrestle for her in the Royal Rumble. So, I want to move on a little bit to AEW. Now we've got tonight, we have a special event called the Battle of the Belts. It's a television.
How special is it?
It's a television special.
Yeah.
It's
I have nothing good to say about anything this week. I apologize.
That's okay, yeah. Because DC is going to be there. So, you know, he's going.
I think the Impact pay-per-view will be good tonight, at least.
Yeah, that's going on tonight too. But we've got free TV, TNT, tonight, the AEW Battle of the Belts that unfortunately got revamped yesterday. I only have, and we'll go through, there's only three matches. It's an hour special. It's going to be on TNT tonight. We got Britt Baker versus Rio, and Britt Baker's never beaten Rio for the AEW Women's Championship, and we got to see him last night in a tag match, and we got to see Rio get the win over what's her name?
Jamie Hayter,
which really is surprising. Dustin Rhodes is going to be taking on Sammy Guevara for the interim TNT Championship. It means Cody Rhodes can't be there to defend the title, so they're going to give an interim one. So I think this has turned into the UFC a little bit, because when they announce a fight and then they have to change it, they give it an interim title, in which whoever wins this will eventually take on the champion again and merge the interim with the TNT Championship. And Ricky Starks. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, to me, this feels like it's a dead giveaway that Guevara is winning tonight. I feel like he's going to win the interim title. It's an easy way for Cody Rhodes to turn on his brother, continue this whole heel turn with Cody, and then set up another rematch between Cody and Sammy.
Okay.
And
yeah, I mean, it's,
that's what I feel.
I want to get back to that in just a second, just because Ricky Starks is taking on Matt Sydal for the FTW Championship. If you forgot about it, by the way, Ricky Starks holds the FTW Championship. What that means and how he gets to pick contenders and whatever, I guess it's his choice. You know, I mean, he could have, like, taken on the guy he beat for it originally, who's we haven't seen hide nor hair of in AEW in quite a long time, since he won the XPW heavyweight title in Rochester. Okay.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I don't go there. This is all an hour tonight. Greensboro, is it DC?
No, Charlotte.
Charlotte. DC's going to the show tonight, and there's going to be
the
show.
Coliseum of the Great Chicken Biscuits.
Oh, Bojangles.
Yeah, you're going to hear woos like you've never heard them before during the show. You know, in every direction. But DC, you're going to this tonight. We definitely got to get a report from you next week on what happens besides what was on TV. But what are you thinking going into this?
I'm honestly thinking that I could only feel better about it, because I don't think I could end up coming out feeling worse. But in all honesty, like, as soon as I saw this announced, I wanted to get tickets, because when you call something Battle of the Belts and your image promoting Battle of the Belts is showing all of your champions, and then the week leading up to it, you only have two title matches announced, but yet on your TNT Dynamite debut, you have three title matches. Honestly, this is like Tony Khan pulled a bait and switch. That's what it is. It was presented to be one thing, and it's turned into something totally different. And now, because they had those three title defenses on Wednesday, and because Cody has now allegedly contracted COVID, which scrapped one of the planned title matches, they painted themselves into a corner. You can't have Hangman defend the world title after what happened Wednesday. You can't have nobody. I'm sorry. I'm no offense to the ladies, but you can't have your Battle of the Belts card be the two women's title matches. That can't happen. After what happened with the tag team match, you can't have like a Lucha Brothers rematch with, you know, Jurassic Express. So they've totally just painted themselves into a corner with this. And honestly, Battle of the Belts has been a complete afterthought.
And is that why FTW belt is getting some legitimacy here? Because
they have nothing else.
They had no choice. They had no choice.
Nothing else.
That's funny.
I'll give a little patience and credit to Tony Khan by, I think he realizes too that this could be a disaster. So he's promising, a stacked, one-hour card prior to it going live on TV. Which, hell, if I get to see some great matches before the cameras roll, who cares what happens when the cameras roll, in my mind?
A couple questions on that. Why is, like, was that All Out or at some point? No, before Rampage, that one time, like, they did the YouTube show. Like, why don't they just do, even if it's only an hour on TNT, why don't you stream another hour or something and make people actually care about this? The card is a joke. Honestly, I wasn't excited for Cody and Sammy in the first place because that's a rematch. We saw Britt and Riho in the ring with each other last night. Like, none of this, who cares about the FTW title? And they're trying to all of a sudden be like, oh, hey, look at Dustin's record in the last 2 years. He deserves this. Well, yeah, but if you really wanted to push that, you would have mentioned it over the last 2 years. It's just thrown together. And I usually give a ton of credit to Tony and AEW for their long-term planning and all this stuff, but this is a severe dropping of the ball. The only thing that maybe I'm happy that it's the FTW title and not like, oh, here's your trios belts we're going to debut tonight, because please still don't do that. But I don't think this is,
hey, they could do.
I'm curious to see the ratings, because I don't think, like, everybody I've seen online commenting on the AEW post is saying the same thing that Dan's saying. Like, nobody's excited. Nobody feels confident in their decision to buy tickets to this. Like,
so here's your problem, okay, with the Battle of Belts card tonight, especially with how crappy it is. Philly and Dallas play at 8:15, and Impact is also on at 8.
Ooh.
Yep. Nobody's going to watch this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Britt Baker, Riho doesn't tickle my fancy. Riho has been almost non-existent on TV since she lost the championship. I mean, she's been on recently, but other than that, she disappeared. I obviously understand travel restrictions. I get it. Dustin Rhodes versus Sammy Guevara, who cares? And just like you said, Rob, the FTW championship, it ain't real, so who cares?
Yeah.
If this is a Battle of the Belts TV special, and this is supposed to be, you know, showcasing your champions, I don't care about any of it.
And forgive me, because I haven't had coffee yet this morning, so I'm blanking. But, like, I feel like there was some kind of hint in the last week about Britt Baker's next challenger after Riho. So it's already like, well, that's not going to be a title change. And I don't ever care about interim titles in anything. Like, that to me, that whole concept is so dumb. Like, either they're not out that long and it's fine, just they'll be back soon. Or if they're out long term, then you strip them. But yeah, interim titles is not the way to go, in my mind. I've never liked that in WWE, in anything.
Fans in the MMA world, Francis Ngannou would agree with you.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's so many interims in the UFC. You know, one thing is going on tonight is Hard to Kill pay-per-view with Impact Wrestling. And their main event, they've got Jonathan Gresham versus Chris Sabin. So he's defending the Ring of Honor title on this pay-per-view tonight, or is it on Fight TV Plus or whatever? It's a
Fight TV.
Yeah.
It's on Fight TV.
Yeah. So they've got, you know, why could, they could have easily, there's more titles that I care about being defended on the Hard to Kill tonight than this Battle of the Belts in Charlotte. So,
yeah.
And this is going to spell disaster for, you know, their whole plan of wanting to do like a quarterly special. Because like the other fellas have indicated, the ratings for this are not going to be good. It's not. It hasn't been built properly. The card is not a draw. It's, yeah, Tony Khan, and they just totally dropped the ball on this.
Right. There's not, like, okay, it's unfortunate that they're in the situation where their TNT special does not have their TNT champion available for it. And obviously they didn't know if Cody has COVID, they didn't know that was going to happen when they made the decision to give him that title back, which that's a different conversation. But, you know, I guess I appreciate that they're not throwing in non-title matches, but you're telling me that you don't have more stars on your roster of 1,000 people than giving me Ricky Starks versus Matt Sydal for the FTW title.
Well,
no,
I
care a lot more about Impact.
You know, if Miro,
you can't give me somebody else that could go more than Dustin.
You know, if Miro was available, it would be Miro and Sammy Guevara. You know, I mean, unfortunately, Miro's hurting right now.
Yeah. And then that promo last night made me mad watching Men of the Year. I'm like, oh, man, Scorpio Sky versus Sammy for an interim title.
Yeah,
I'd be excited to see that match.
Yeah. I have called a Sammy Guevara versus Scorpio Sky match, and I would watch that any day of the week. I don't understand. I think there is a chance that Dustin could win tonight. And I will say that, like, again, Cody versus Dustin before Dynamite even started, that Double or Nothing match, it was one of my favorite matches ever, and I didn't expect it. So maybe that could be a refreshing thing for Cody to do if they go that route at some point. And I'm not totally opposed to Dustin holding some kind of gold briefly at some point in this run that he has, but I just, that's not the match for tonight. You could have figured something else out. Even if it was like, hey, sorry, we can't have the TNT title match, but we are now going to have your new tag team champions defend against another good team. Obviously not Rey Fénix. Get well soon, but like...
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a second, too.
Throw the FTW belt in the trash. Honestly, like, I would rather just have Hook come out and walk around the ring for 5 minutes. People care more about that.
I'd rather have Hook out there than Brian Cage, okay?
maybe the bigger lesson is, too, if you're going to have a quarterly special, maybe not schedule it for the same week you're changing networks.
And you're giving all these other title matches away. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So while we got we kind of dabble in that topic a little bit, we had TBS debut this past week. And on the TBS debut, of course, we kicked off with the rematch of Bryan Danielson and the champion Paige there. And it was a very bloody match, Adam Page there. And, but it wasn't quite what the hour matchup was, but I just want to mention that it was a good show overall, but we got two injuries on that show that came out of it. Jake Atlas, who debuted against Adam Cole, hurt. I don't know exactly what he hurt, but, you know, Jake Atlas,
hurt his knee.
I noticed that at one point he was laying on the ground and he was not getting up. And then they decided to go with like a knee hold finisher.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't, I think like the word got out there that he had gotten hurt. And then, you know, watching the match last night, the whole time, I'm like, where's the injury going to happen? Like I didn't look away from the screen once, cause I was just waiting to see what happened. I thought the match was really good. Yeah. And I'm very happy that Jake Atlas is there, and I feel terrible this happened in his first like actual true televised match there, but it looking at the injury itself, like the way he jumps off the ropes and kind of like plants his foot, like the knee gave out a little bit, but maybe it's not that bad. And the way he tweeted about it made it seem like it's not that bad. So hopefully it's kind of a short term thing.
So I did say that was recorded it was recorded on Wednesday and it was played back last night and we got to see that. But then we had Rey Fénix. We had the thing is, I think that completely distracted at the end of the match because he got choke slammed through a table and is dislocated his elbow. As soon as he hit the ground, he tried to brace himself with his arm, and you could see as soon as he hit, his elbow was going in the wrong direction. It was really nasty. But that, don't you think? You know, I was thinking to myself, man, I just would be aghast by it if I was in the crowd because you know this happened right in front of the ring, and these guys are supposed to be celebrating and everything, and some dude just had his elbow go backwards pretty much, That was tough. It was tough to see that because, and they replayed it once and you never saw it again. It was very much Joe Theismann-ish, you know, it's, we're not going to show you break his leg. And another
40. I don't know. I saw like five replays of it.
It was,
they replayed it.
I didn't notice it live. And I feel like most of the people I talked to did not really notice it live. And then like the show ended and I was like, I need to rewind back to this. And I go back to it and put it on slow-mo. And literally at that point, like I remember like screaming and turning my head like out, yeah. Like, oh my God, I don't ever want to see that again.
Yeah.
After watching it in slow-mo, but I didn't notice it the first time around live.
Oh, I did. As soon as it happened, it's like, oh, because you could see his arm go backwards. You know, it was like, ugh.
I got to say this. That was probably the most awkward ending ever to a wrestling show I've probably ever seen, besides the sparklers that went off at that one pay-per-view.
Oh my God, the yeah. Exploding match, exploding ring okay. Match. Yeah.
So they win the tag team titles. They celebrate. All the tag teams come out.
Yeah.
And then they just start panning to Darby and then Jericho in the stands. And then the next guy, they go back to Jericho.
Yeah. God,
and then they terrible. Just go, and then they just go off the air. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Like it's almost like after Phoenix got hurt, they had no idea what to do.
They couldn't show anything in front of the ring because that's where it happened. It was right in, it was on the hard camera side. You know, it was like they zoomed in on the guys praying in the middle of the ring. They got together and they were, you know, celebrating, but you know, it's like, they just, how do you ignore that? Cause there's probably a freaking medic down there and a stretcher and everything going on.
Then go off the air with your champs holding the tight belts in the air, or with Luchasaurus with Jungle Boy around his shoulders. Like if you have to get off right at 10, go right off at 10. Like don't start panning into the crowd.
Well, I think they were stretching more than anything. Like I think they were trying to find a way to fill time because they had to take the match home early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then like obviously it's like, okay, here's a shot of Jericho. Hey, Jericho, can you look up at the camera? What? Jericho doesn't even need to be in the tag division.
He suddenly realized that it was
at all right now.
He didn't realize the camera was on him in the beginning. You could see
and
that.
Then he did it again.
Yeah.
And then when they sent out all the tag teams out to the ramp, it was like clearly I don't think that was supposed to happen. Like, but they're all just out there. They're filtering there. They're just standing there, like. No one's looking menacing. No one's looking upset. No one's celebrating. Like, no one's doing anything. They're just standing there. They're all clumped together because it's the tag team division.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the heck is going on?
In hindsight, though, that still makes more sense than panning to Chris Jericho randomly sitting in the crowd somewhere.
Well right. I get it.
In his Just for Men look.
That could be a whole nother episode.
I stopped
it, that.
I would stop dyeing my hair, and if I didn't, it would look like that. So
if you're the talent in that tag team division and you're told last second to go out there, show some emotion. Don't just look like cardboard dummies.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a tough ending because it did have to end early, and you know,
was something supposed to happen when the lights went out?
Yeah, and that's too. They had multiple times during the night where the lights went out and nothing happened on any of them. I think they were having probably power problems or something.
Did the lights go out before the show when Jericho was dyeing his hair? Is Rudy Giuliani the one dyeing it for him?
Like, it's Frank Reynolds.
Yes.
Either the power's bad or they clearly, unfortunately, were not able to go a direction and angle where I think it's going. It's got to be a tease of the House of Black.
Yeah.
I mean, especially the match right before, after the Aleister Black match.
So then did Aleister run up the stairs to sit five rows away from Jericho?
Yeah.
Because it looked like he was with wherever Jericho was.
Yeah. By the way, did you see when the lights came back on, all the wrestlers were stopped in the ring and they were like stopped waiting for the lights to come back and they were looking around like something was supposed to happen? I know in old WCW Monday Night Nitro days, they used to have bad weather and the lights would go out every once in a while. But because it's used as such a crutch now with everything, you know, surprising people and stuff, it happened twice during that show, Dynamite. It happened, and neither times anything happened during it. So I thought maybe they are having windstorms or power problems. I don't know.
It's got to be a tease up to the revealing of House of Black, especially in that spot in the tag team match. It makes sense. I mean, Aleister Black had the thing with Pac. Then obviously the tag Lucha Brothers run in. Right after the Aleister Black match versus Pillman, I mean, it made sense, especially since Lucha Brothers were on offense too, when the lights flickered and then came back and they didn't really know what to do. I mean,
they all were stopped. You know, they're all like frozen in place.
We've heard that Brody King signed with AEW, allegedly. Okay. Obviously, he's going to be partnered with Aleister Black. They are a tag team on the indies. And they've mentioned, too, that Aleister Black is eventually or soon going to reveal it. There, I mean, there's rumors that he's going to reveal the members of his House of Black. Brody King rumored to be one of them, and then potentially somebody else. And I've heard name drops of Swerve Scott.
While Swerve's available, you know, there's a bunch of people available. I will say, Michael just put a good message. He goes, you think he put on the, if you're in the message board right now, do you think Dynamite's iffy production had anything to do with Keith Mitchell retiring? Probably, you know, I mean, the guy who over, but they may have been having issues too. You know, when the power goes out in a place, a lot of times, was it in Greensboro? Is that where they were for the TBS debut? I knew they were supposed to be in Greensboro in the next couple. No, it was New Jersey.
Wait, no. Newark.
It was Newark. Okay. Yeah, they have no excuse because Greensboro is kind of an older auditorium. So I thought maybe it had something to do. But, yeah, there was no excuse for those power outs and lights outs and stuff, you know. And
I think it's intentional. Yeah. So whether or not that's a good idea is a different question.
Well, the time they did it, it was like what? There was probably about 4 minutes left in the, you know, in TV time too. So it was really pretty much near the end. So
can we talk about something else from Dynamite?
Yes.
That I have a problem with. What was the point in Bryan Danielson and Hangman Page going to a draw the first time they fight just to set up this whole rematch with the judging clause and to have it be half the length and for Hangman to go over clean?
Because if like the draw set up.
But why couldn't they have done that the first? I don't know.
You didn't need it. Like you're not going to have Paige win the first one and then do a rematch and then go to a draw. So I think like that part kind of makes sense to me. Maybe you didn't need to do a 60-minute draw the first time. So like the timing could have been more equal or something like that. I'm just happy that it ended with an actual finish and not like, oh, Danielson's lost too much blood. He's passed out. Like the same type of thing. I'm talking about like Reigns should beat Lesnar and get the real win. Hangman needed a real win against Danielson. Is that going to be enough?
It should have happened the first time.
Yeah. But then you don't have a second time. There's no reason for them to wrestle again. If that happens the first time.
You can absolutely have a second time.
No, then that's just a rematch, and you're just turning into WWE.
Yeah. Now the question is, where do we go from here for Bryan Danielson? You know, I mean, he loses his first match. He was a face when this whole confrontation started. He kind of healed out just by being an arrogant wrestler. You know, that the people saw that as a heel move by him. Does he let it rest, or does he, you know, now does he really get devious and become a heel and like, you know, come and make this go a little bit longer, maybe come take out Adam Page, you know, backstage or in the parking lot or something, you know, I mean, you know, what does this leave for Bryan Danielson? I mean, he wasn't supposed to be the original guy who was going to get the nod here against Adam Page, but because of injuries to wrestlers, he's the one who defaulted to. Just not a problem. I mean, I wouldn't have betted he was going to be the first one to lose of him, you know, or any of the other new guys who've joined recently. But what where does that leave him now? Where does he go now? You know, I mean, does he have to go to another feud, or are they going to continue this on? I mean, you know,
I don't think they continue the Danielson Hangman thing for now. We might get later on down the road, especially if there's some sort of angle when Omega's healthy, saying that, oh, I went to a draw with both these guys. Now it's different because Danielson has a definitive loss, you know, against Hangman.
Yeah.
So, and I still think Omega versus Cole is going to be one of the first things that happens when Omega comes back. My thought is if they continue to have Danielson heal out a little bit, and I can't really remember because my brain's been clouded a little bit this week, but is Darby Allin in anything right now? Is he doing anything? That would be my next direction.
I mean, he has called Darby Allin out by name. I mean, you know, when he was going through that list of guys he wanted to wrestle. So
yeah, I could see maybe a start something there if you want to not flip flop Danielson back and forth so much right now.
And maybe Danielson can get an opportunity against the guys he wanted to wrestle when he was in the WWE an hour over there, like Sting. You know, was one of the guys that I think he wanted to do something with, and they nixed it. You know, so you know, I mean, I guess the world's his oyster at this moment. You know, but you know, I agree. You could move him in any direction. It's just how do we do it? And I mean, it's a shame because that was really Hangman's first defense of the title. So you knew he wasn't going to drop it to Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, yeah, and it's tough because especially with Hangman. His reign as champ starts so hot with those two matches against Danielson.
Yeah.
It's like, where do you go from there? Like, who do they have set up to be the next challenger? They don't. Well, everybody else who could be a challenger is in a different story right now.
That's true. But if you paid attention last night, I feel like they're already laying the groundwork for Adam Cole because they announced that he is the right now, based on rankings, he is the number one contender.
Another guy who has not
lost. They said that last night on Rampage.
I did not see Rampage. I don't get to see wrestling on Friday nights, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was going to say, so, Adam Cole is another guy with no losses. You got CM Punk, which is another guy with no losses. All these recent joins. So it's like, you know, I mean, and CM Punk has said that he wouldn't be there if he wasn't going for the heavyweight title. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of great things set up for Adam Page, but, you know, I don't want to have Adam versus Adam. I mean, I'm had enough time. I get confused by their last names half the time anyway. So, but, yeah, I don't know where we go from then. But they're going to figure it out because we'll know by next Wednesday, I'm guessing, on TBS, the mothership.
That show better be better than Battle of the Belts. I'll be very disappointed if the two events I picked tickets to are just – both trash.
I don't know. I think you're going to get something good, but it's a shame that we had all the injuries.
I think I might be getting the face turn of Wardlow, which would be interesting.
Oh yeah, Wardlow. They make him look like a jerk, you know, but they help him win.
I'm so ready for that. I mean, the guy is pretty talented. I mean, he's a little green, but he's come a long way, I think. And
you can't have him destroy Punk.
Yeah, and Michael's pointing out Moxley's going to be back this week too. So Moxley is the guy who originally was supposed to take on Adam Page as his first. You know that he was the guy who got pulled out of the tournament, and Daniel Bryan ended up winning. But
I wouldn't be surprised if Mox is back soon. I mean, he's being promoted to be defending the GCW World Title at Hammerstein Ballroom in a few weeks. So, I doubt he would make his first appearance in GCW before AEW.
Oh, so. I would agree. And they've said that since he's been out of rehab that he's definitely going to be back on soon. And he has missed. And they can go back to their original plans then with Adam Page and Moxley.
They could. And I would be 100% fine with that. But if you you could also segue and go to the Adam Cole versus Hangman Page right now, wait for Mox and do a Mox versus Danielson, because that's what I originally actually thought was going to happen, was Danielson was going to turn heel or Mox was going to turn heel, vice versa, on either one of them. So you could do a Mox versus Danielson.
Oh, I would love that too. Those guys have worked together, I think, briefly in the WWE. That would be fantastic. We'll see what happens. You know, I mean, it's going to be a big week for AEW. That's for sure. We did get another mention. Someone else mentioned, is the AEW going down the bloody blood every other match thing? I saw a bloody women's match, the Bunny and three other girls. This is from Gary. Thank you for a message, Gary. He said it was nasty. They beat the crap out of each other. Yeah, it was. If you saw that match last New Year's Eve, which Furby did mention last week on the show when we were promoting it, that you definitely want to watch that. That was pretty violent, you know, for a women's match. When you start off, like for instance, they started off on TBS with blood in their very first match. You know, I mean, we got that and two injuries later, but, I think that, you know, that's not something they're avoiding anymore if it happens. And obviously, Adam Page did, he did cut himself, because you could see Daniel Bryan working on where he had originally cut himself, and it dried up at one point, and he tried to get it going again. So
yeah, did a little bit of carving over by the steel steps.
Yeah.
But just going back to last week's Rampage real quick, I'm surprised Penelope Ford. Penelope Ford didn't pop something when she did that moonsault on the table and it got stiffed by the table.
Yeah, well, think about this. They went, did you see the promo they made out of that match this past week where they had like every woman's just like covered in blood and mm-hmm. it was something, you know. You don't see that, you never see that in a lot of matches, especially in WWE. You never see women bleed.
Talk about cutting. I thought it was kind of awkward because Bunny was off TV, like she was on screen, they didn't show her, she was out on the outside floor, didn't really take an offensive move, and then like a minute later all of a sudden her face is gushing blood. And I'm like, that was really bad timing. And like no one even hit her.
No, yeah. It's almost like the Carmella match last week where she didn't tag in once and she got the win. So we are getting towards the news portion of the show. I got to make sure we touched everything. We talked about Breaker winning the title. Let's see. Got the show. We got a show tonight. We get definitely a Hard to Kill on Impact Plus tonight. Man, we've got a lot of titles being defended. And Mickey James and Deanna Peraza in a Texas death match for the Impact Knockouts title. Now, we did mention earlier that with Mickey being deemed the Impact Women's title holder or the Knockouts title holder on WWE TV last night, that she probably most likely will hold on to that, but we'll see what happens. But the main event is going to be, I'm guessing it'll be Moose and Cardona and Morrissey for the three-way for the Impact World title. That ought to be super exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's some great matches. Trey Miguel's taking on Steve Macklin. And if Macklin loses, he can no longer challenge for the title as long as Miguel is champion. A lot of stipulations in every match. There's only one singles match or two, you know, one singles match on the whole card, and that's Alexander versus Jonah. And Jonah, you might remember it. What was his name in WWE?
Bronson Reed.
Bronson Reed. You remember Bronson Reed? He's going to be taking on Josh Alexander, who was the champion earlier. Well, I was going to say earlier this year, not this year, last year.
He was the North American champion.
Yeah. So,
that match I'm really pumped for. They've built up that match really well on Impact TV. So I'm super, super excited for that.
Got Gresham taking on Chris Sabin for the Ring of Honor title being defended on Impact tonight. And then you've got the 10-man hardcore war with Eddie Edwards, Rich Swann, Willie Mack, Heath and Rhino versus the Good Brothers, Violent by Design, Alicia Edwards versus Chelsea Green versus Jordan Grace versus Lady Frost versus Rosemary and Tasha Steele for the inaugural Knockouts Ultimate X match. Well, you've never seen a women's Ultimate X match in Impact Wrestling until tonight. So we're going to have one of those. And if you know what the Ultimate X is, it's when they hang the X over the ring and the first one to get it down, much like any belt you could put hanging down. It's a giant X hanging down. And I believe that they will, maybe they'll have an Impact. It'll be Impact Knockouts Championship. Yeah. Number one contender. Probably should
get. I could see winning that match.
You probably could have a women's X division title too if they wanted to. Why not? You know, I don't have a problem with that. We've had women win the X division title
For 2 hours of TV on Impact. Don't give them another belt. They just added that digital media championship that doesn't even get on TV.
But Jordan Grace lays down naked with it, laying across her body. So I've seen the pictures.
That's fine. I don't mind that, but I don't think we need another title.
Yeah. We've got Ace Austin, Chris Bay, Jake Something, and Laredo Kid in a four-way match going on. It sounds like a great night of matches tonight. I'm excited that they're actually defending the Ring of Honor Championship. People are keeping the Ring of Honor Championship alive by putting it in other places. So, and the GCW had the tag titles last week.
Well, GCW is also helping, they're using the ROH title twice in the next coming weeks. Gresham will be defending against Blake Christian at Hammerstein, but for the week before that, they're still technically haven't taken the title, like new version of the ROH world title off Bandido. Bandido is facing is defending that title against Blake Christian, I think, next weekend. And then I think that culminates with Blake Christian versus Gresham at Hammerstein. So I think there's a chance that Blake Christian could win the new ROH championship off of Bandido and then unify it at Hammerstein. Because Bandido is going to be on the Hammerstein card already for GCW, and it's in a six-man match. So, well,
why did Bandido miss that? Because he was a COVID thing?
COVID.
Okay.
COVID.
So,
yeah, at Final Battle.
So basically, this is like another interim title thing.
Uh-oh.
that's the way that they're doing it. And I was super surprised because that's not the way it was portrayed at first, because they said they were going to strip Bandido of the title, but they clearly didn't. And then the way they've been playing it up with the whole thing with Gresham having the original ROH title, I guess that's their way out of it. And I think they'll probably just unify it at Hammerstein, to be honest.
By the way, George, W. Morrissey is Big Cass. If you, he's a dude who was played Big Cass in the WWE. So, yeah, no, it's a great show. I mean, you know, and Danny is going to be at Battle of the Belts tonight, so he gets to go, you know, maybe catch this on replay or not. There's going to be a lot of things coming out of it. By the way, I saw Kerry Silken was at Dynamite this week in New Jersey. Kerry Silken, who was the owner at one time of Ring of Honor, now he, and after they were bought out, they kept him on as the ambassador, I think it was, something like that, the goodwill ambassador of Ring of Honor. But Kerry Silken been on this show quite a couple times. Most of the time he was like driving to Yankees games when we would talk to him, but he always would come on. He loved to talk about Ring of Honor whenever Ring of Honor was out and on tour and we could promote events and dates. So I was nice seeing him in pictures, and maybe they'll find a way to use him if he doesn't go back to Ring of Honor. I think Ring of Honor is not dead. I mean, as much as we thought it might be, I think it's just maybe restructuring or whatever is going on. So another quick plug before, let's see. Oh, night two of New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom 16 this past week saw Okada retain the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship over Will Ospreay in the show's main event. But at the halfway point of the show, Pro Wrestling Noah roster showed up like an invasion into New Japan Pro Wrestling, which they're two different companies. You know, if you follow that stuff closely, you know, Noah has a distinct lineup, not shared by New Japan Pro Wrestling, and they GHC heavyweight champion for Noah is Kenji Muto. So name might be familiar, but I think that was pretty cool that they have tonight. It'll be the third night of Wrestle Kingdom 16 from the Yokohama Arena, which will pit New Japan talent against Noah talent. So that's what it led up to. So it's kind of exciting. It's kind of like a two companies invading each other.
Yeah, and two things really that came from the show was, one, Okada winning the title on night one, and then two, Ospreay saying that he's not going to be going through any Forbidden Door anytime soon and says he'd rather main event Wrestle Kingdom again before he ever comes back to the States. So I know there was a lot of talk about or not coming back to the States, but working for a different company. Because I know there was a lot of talk about Ospreay going somewhere else. He was booked to be on MLW at one point. So
I will say that Access TV, I guess, is picking New Japan up on for Access TV again, because they're going to be working with Impact Wrestling this year coming up. So
March 3rd.
Yeah, so we're going to see if you have Access TV, not only will you get Impact Wrestling now, but you also will now be New Japan will be back. I don't know who's going to be announcing. Maybe Matt Stryker. Matt Stryker's done with Impact Wrestling. It was announced that his contract lapsed or whatever this past week, and they had brought in other people to do announcing. I guess we'll find out tonight who is going to be their main announcer now. Maybe he'll go back to Josh Matthews.
I bet it's Matthew.
Or Mauro Ranallo came in, though, and did their last pay-per-view, too. So, I mean, Mauro Ranallo is not a bad name to start with.
Definitely not, but I thought Mauro was only there for the Swan Omega match.
Yeah, they brought him in for one match, yeah.
I think it's an outside chance, but maybe Ian Riccaboni from Ring of Honor.
Oh, yeah.
Gets that gig. I don't know.
He's good. I like him. I like him a lot. He's got a huge name that's hard to say, but.
Actually, him and Caprice Coleman together are probably one of my favorite duos, honestly. They do a very good job telling a story.
Yeah, so that was going on. So let me mention next week on NXT 2.0, but that's another thing I'm going to promote, that they put a list out. We get to see AJ Styles versus Grayson Waller. AJ Styles, we talked last week. I figured they're going to make him an instant face. And now with him showing up in NXT the last couple of weeks and Grayson Waller to being the next great thing that they allowed to be on Raw the week before, they're going to be in a match. Tony D'Angelo is taking on Pete Dunne in a crowbar on a pole match. Escobar and Quinn are going to be wrestling. Electra Lopez will leave with the winner. If you've been following that story, I love Electra Lopez, by the way. Boa versus Solo Sikoa, you know, the third Uso brother. Because, I mean, you could put him out there and, you know, they look exactly alike. Joe Gacy and Harlan will be taking on a tag team. And we've got the leftover women who I shouldn't say that. It's not nice. But Wendy Cho, Indy Hartwell, Persia Parada versus Caden Carter, Casey Kent. Kenan Zero and Amari Miller. So
I tell you what, if I didn't watch NXT 2.0, I'd look at those five names and be like, what the heck? who are those people?
Well, you know Indy Hartwell, you know, just because of
I mean, Indy Hartwell, yeah, because I watched the product.
Yes.
If I didn't.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right.
No clue.
But no, then in Casey Catanzaro is the only one and she's like about what, 4'2" or something, you know? It's like, but yeah, so they're throwing out their lineup, trying to, you know, be contemporary. And we get the new Bron Breakker, he appears as well. So maybe he'll come out and talk a little bit. He does sound a lot like, more like Scott Steiner than Rick Steiner in his promo ability. But
anybody think he looks like a Jack Shia LaBeouf?
He's got that a little bit. Was he 22? I mean, it's like he's just a kid, you know. Just a couple pieces of the news before we get out of here. 2022 Beach Break edition of AEW Dynamite on TBS has been announced for January 26th from the Wolfstein Center in Cleveland, Ohio. First ever
Beach Break in Cleveland.
Yeah,
that's what I said. That's what I said. It makes absolutely no sense.
They're going to go out to the beach and the frozen lake.
That makes as much sense as WrestleMania 24 in Orlando having a theme song of "Snow" by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
True. What are you going to say, Rob?
I mean, I don't know if one of the matches turns into like a polar bear club into the shores of Lake Erie, then sure. But yeah, it makes no sense.
There's a beach there. It just might be on a frozen lake. So we'll see. But yeah, they announced that. So, also the taped TNT Rampage will be the 28th. They haven't announced anything for it yet, though.
Can't wait for Beach Break 23 from the
Alaska
Charlotte Beach in Rochester, New York.
Yeah, right. That's right.
January.
It's right next to the city, right? It's part of the city of Rochester.
Perfect. Yeah.
And
nice and clean.
I don't have much more to talk about. Carmella's reportedly been injured, and she's been working through it. She did wrestle in a match last week where she did not tag in once and got the win with her tag partner, who they hold the titles right now. The Queen Zelina and her have the women's tag titles. It was against Nikki Ash and Rhea Ripley. It was kind of weird, seeing that last week. But then Seth Rollins, like I said earlier, was supposed to win the title at WWE at day one. But, of course, he had COVID issues as well. They weren't sure if he was going to be there until he passed the second test, and he did. That's about all the news I see fit to talk about. Is there anything you guys think I missed that we we went through the whole Impact Hard to Kill too, which is probably the feature tonight going on. That's for sure. Sasha Banks was injured. I did want to mention that. She's good, though. She came out on Twitter and said she's good. She suffered an apparent knee injury during last Sunday's event in Fayetteville, North Carolina. She was wrestling, Charlotte. So. Charlotte,
yeah.
Yeah.
The video, she took a nasty backbreaker and looked like she just bent in half. It didn't really look that bad watching it, but you never know. With a knee to the back, anything could happen.
George just put a post. Ronda Rousey said that she went to Fastlane in Cleveland saying, "Yay, we are going to Cleveland," and nobody ever said that, I'm guessing. So, yeah, interesting. Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, and Brandon Cutler missed this past week because of a couple of positive tests. I believe Nick and Brandon and Matt and Brandon, and Nick stayed home because he's, you know, it's his tag team partner. He probably, you know, he's going to test positive or might have been carrying. So beyond that, that's about the week in wrestling. We did, an hour and a half. You know, imagine if we were on the radio, man, we would have got 40 minutes of content. So Tell your friends.
Hour and a half show with two positive comments.
An hour and a half, two positive comments. But we talked it out, you know? I mean, we kind of talked out what things that were bugging us, and people agree with us.
I like our therapy sessions on Saturday.
It certainly is therapy sessions.
I love how we can go on a little bit of tangent, too.
We certainly do. Yeah. A lot of times I'll be like, we got a break, guys. We're going to have to change topic. We'll come back and talk about this. So, but I want to thank everybody for coming into the chat room. We'll be back next Saturday, you know, so just tell everybody, you know, I'll try to pimp it as much as we can, on our Facebook page, just to remind people that we're going to be there. And I want to thank you guys for showing up. And, yeah, what was that? Oh yeah. They said that CM Punk gave George said CM Punk gave a GTS to the captain, calling MJF a DQ, which MJF lost his first match in AEW this past week due to a DQ on TV. First time he lost, and he was mad about it because of CM Punk. CM Punk, I thought that, you know, the announcers were kind of going nuts a little bit because he, like, suddenly, you know, they're both faces in the ring, and he picks them up and does a GTS to them. So that was interesting. But on that note, we're going to get out of here. I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me. Thank you so much. It was interesting. We got a lot of stuff going on, especially with Impact this weekend. And don't forget, Battle of the Belts on TNT tonight. DC will be there. Maybe we'll look for you in the crowd, DC. See if we can find you.
Look for a guy trying to appear enthusiastic.
Yeah, yeah. He's the guy with the flares in the crowd. No.
If you see a huge smile on my face, you'll know that the undercard that wasn't televised was pretty good.
I'm guessing it will be. You know, I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll get, you know.
TK is promising a stacked house show card, whatever that means.
All right. Well, good. Danny, enjoy your time. Tonight we'll be watching. Lots of wrestling going on tonight. And thank you, Mr. Ortiz. Thank you, DC. Thank you, Furby, and your Spider-Man. Is it Spider-Man hat?
No, this is Roman Reigns. Got it at Survivor Series.
Oh, it almost looks like a Spider-Man symbol. Okay, and we'll see you folks next week here on Facebook. Take it easy. Check us out. Check out our old shows, too. They're all on the feelthepain.net, thepainclinic.net, on iTunes, and anywhere else. Just search the pain. See you next time.